The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Art Talk Golden Bay with Grant Knowles, where I talk to the artists about their art practice, what inspires them, their journey, and all their little secrets and passions. So come on a journey of discovery to find out firsthand the world of art, brought to you by the Art Vault Takaka. Good morning and welcome to Art Talk, and on today's show I have Sarah Brown. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Grant.
Sarah, you've been practicing artist for most of your life.
Yes, a long time. Yeah. Just every now and then when I have time. Yep.
When you have time between working. Yep. In a real job.
Yep. 9 to 5. Well, 8:30 to 4:30.
What do you call a real job anyway?
Yeah, that's true. You know? What is a real job?
Yeah. I think art is a real job.
I think so. I always say I'm a pretend artist because there's a lot more talented people around, but people always put me in my place when I say that.
Yeah, I would do that because you've got raw talent.
Yeah. Have you
been told that?
No, I enjoy what I do, and I'm always doing new stuff. Mm. So, you know, I don't have one particular method, I suppose. I'm always looking for new things and trying different things out. So,
and that's what I like about it because, you know, you have that exploration, that raw exploration of you know, just going off on a tangent and exploring it for a while. And you don't just do one of something, you do a few.
Yeah.
And that you know, that's also part of it. It's not, you know, it's if you're a person who just does one-offs all the time, it's not really quite the same thing, is it?
No, I always have this idea. I might wake up in the night and think, oh, I might try that. And then I try and get it out of my head onto board or canvas or whatever I'm doing, or ceramics. I've been having to go at ceramics lately as well, so that's been quite fun. And I just think, okay, let's see what happens, and mixing all sorts of stuff together.
Yep.
You never know what you're going to come up with.
Moving from 2D to 3D is an interesting transition.
Well, I've really enjoyed doing that. I started with make a coffee mug.
Okay.
And then I'm now like, what happens if I mix this with this? And, we just see how it goes.
You see, I think that's the thing about, you know, I've just been going through a bit of a building project at home, and I asked my son, you know, how's it going? Do you think you'd want to be? You know, he's been helping the builder.
Yeah.
How would you like to be do something like that? He goes, oh, it's too straight and square.
Yeah. Well, that's what when I'm with Lisa at ceramics that she teaches me, and I'm like, oh, you must think I'm crazy having a student that comes in and just wants to mix anything I can find or nothing's straight. I did a couple of straight looking things, and but I've enjoyed doing, I think, is it called Scraffito? I think that's what it's called. Scratching out the clay, making like quite textured, because I'm always doing quite textured sort of work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've done a huge big one for a future exhibition actually that I will do, and I've put all sorts of stuff on there, so I just love to see what happens.
It's about breaking the rules.
It is. Well, I do that with that. Because I'm pretty straight otherwise.
You have your 9-to-5 job where you're pretty straight and have to toe the line, but you've got to have that balance in life, don't you?
Well, I'm lucky with my job because I do all the advertising, so I've got all the creative side there as well. So I'm pretty much living the dream, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah.
So just let's turn the clock back a little bit. You obviously did art at school.
Yep. I had Robin Slow as a teacher.
Right.
How lucky was that?
Yeah. That's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah, very lucky.
Yeah, yep. So he wouldn't have been here very long.
I don't know. God, I'm going back quite a few years.
Really?
Obviously.
Okay, no.
So at the high school, so when I started there, Form 1.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how long he'd been there for. Yeah.
So you know, you did that, and did you ever want to just go, nah, I'm not going to get a real job, I'm going to be an artist?
Going to be an interior designer that lived on Oriental Parade. I don't know why there, but that's where I was living. Oriental Parade in Wellington with a Porsche and a penthouse. That's what I was going to do.
But you can't do much with a Porsche in a penthouse.
Oh, no,
because,
I don't know where that came from.
You couldn't drive it. It'd be in the penthouse.
I have no idea. But that's what was... I was going to be an interior designer. So
well, you nearly made it.
Just about did.
In fact, I think you probably made it more.
I think so too, yeah. Actually. I think I'm pretty lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pretentiousness of having a Porsche in a penthouse is probably...
I've got a Toyota and I live at Pahara, so I'm actually probably more lucky, I reckon.
Yeah. I reckon, eh? Definitely. Yeah. So you didn't go for interior design, or did you?
I tried. So when I was leaving school at 16, 17, I tried to get into the interior design polytech it was at that stage in Christchurch, but the average age they took was 32.
Oh.
So a little old girl from the country, or a young girl from the country, didn't really have much hope getting there. So
how did that feel, being rejected?
Yeah, well, especially when the average age was 32. I mean, nowadays, I think you go straight from high school into those sort of courses and stuff like that. So I studied it all at school. In my seventh form, I did my diploma and my certificate in interior design. So I was really lucky to be able to do that, plus art. So it was interesting.
Yeah, that's a little frustrating.
It was obviously a path I wasn't meant to take.
No, but getting knocked back, that's probably one of the hardest things. Because, again, a lot of society tells you, you know, you don't be an artist, you'll never make any money, always be poor, blah, 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 blah. And yet you just keep pursuing it, even if you got a, you know, sort of job selling houses and stuff. Was that quite early on?
That was, I went and lived in Australia for a few years, and then I sold real estate for 18 years.
Wow.
So that was quite a good chunk of my life. But I have a lot more time now, because I don't really work weekends. I work the odd Saturday morning, but I have a lot more time now to do art if I want to.
You'd be probably quite good in the gallery, you know, selling real estate. Art's just real estate on a wall.
That's true, it is, isn't it? Real estate, you take out prime real estate on the wall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's some cheap stuff over in that corner.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, but you want to make it look like $1 million in the corner, so, you know, you put your $1 million painting there.
Yep, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, do you think your design, I mean, obviously design ideas and art all sort of came together in one, and you've just dabbled with it ever since.
Yeah.
You know, have you got a favourite moment of when you've been doing this, you know, like at a point or, you know, in your evolution?
I think now's actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm really enjoying
hear.
What I do now, work-wise and art-wise. Because, I mean, even with my work, I'm doing colour consults and in-house colour consults as well. So I'm doing everything like that. So, and I love doing that.
Yeah.
Going and helping people with colours and...
Yeah.
And then, even though my own house is mainly black and white.
Inside as well?
Inside, I've got black inside. Don't be afraid to put black inside.
No.
Everyone freaks out when I say that. One lady said to me one day, she said, "You wear a lot of black." And I said, "Yeah, I like black." And she said, "You should look into that." I didn't tell her that I had, at that time, a black ceiling in my house, a black car. She must have thought I had issues.
I went to a flat once and went to use the loo, and the whole thing was painted black.
Yeah.
Including the cistern and toilet bowl and everything.
Well, that's
was
extreme.
Black and it had a black light.
Oh, did it? Well, that's probably takes it a little bit further than what I'd take it.
Yeah, interesting, eh?
But I love doing colour and mainly textures and stuff like that, I think. Mm. I really enjoy.
Tell me about the textures. Where does that part come from? You know?
I don't know. Anything. Maybe my nana used to be a rock hounder and stuff, so maybe textural. I don't know. Who knows where it comes from? But
so you were never tempted to go down the carving?
No, I haven't tried carving. Or have I? No, I haven't tried carving.
Well, I mean, building up with clay is the opposite to carving because you're taking it away.
Yeah, well, I'm doing quite a bit of slab work with my ceramics, but I love etching stuff out like that. I find
that's really carving.
Good. Yeah, well, that's true. I love doing that. So I'm quite keen to try anything different.
So here's the big question: is where does your inspiration? Where does it all come from? What is, you know, is it something that is based around?
Sometimes I wake up in the night with like visions of oh, wonder how that would work, especially around Bay Art time.
Mm-hmm.
I think, oh, how am I going to do that? I'm going to put these things together and see what happens. Or walking on the beach, just I take a lot more notice now of things, probably after the dreaded COVID times when I had, and when I was still in real estate then, I had, what did we have, 5-6 weeks at home.
Mm-hmm.
I walked every single day, started photographing things and then taking a lot more notice of what was around you.
I saw your fantastic photos on Facebook at that time.
I love doing that. And it turned into this thing because people that couldn't come home were like, oh, we're following your photos every day. So it turned into this every day I had to get up and take
photos. No pressure.
No pressure. But I loved it. I mean, when have you ever had 5 weeks off?
Yeah. You know? Oh, it was a dream.
I didn't drive my vehicle for 6 weeks.
It was a dream for us artists, really. Yeah. I think that's something.
In saying that, I didn't do any art that time. I tried, but nothing actually. But maybe my photography was that took over that side of it, I think.
Yeah, it probably is something. Yeah. Have you always done photography? Or was that was a new thing too?
Yeah, so I really enjoyed that.
So you're definitely a multimedia artist.
I'd call myself that. Try also.
And do you feel comfortable in the word artist shoes?
Sometimes. Like I said before, I always think I'm not a real artist, but I don't know, what is a real artist?
Okay, so the story is I was on a farewell spit residency, one of the early ones. It was 12 of us, and we're all sitting around in the lounge each night talking, and I was amongst all these real artists who had letters after their names and blah, 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 and I'm thinking, do I really feel like I'm a fraud sitting here, you know? And it really felt like that, and I think I relate to you. However, as time went on and that process, that group process sort of grew, I started feeling more comfortable in that skin, and it really kind of like, oh, I can do this, I can say this. So, you know, you don't need a bunch of letters after your name.
No.
You just need the passion.
Yeah, well, I've definitely got the passion for doing anything like that, yeah. I love it. And I get out there and, like I say, it's my studio's a hell of a mess.
Oh, that's probably...
On the floor, people are like, oh, my God, is this, you know, there's resin drip there, and they say, oh, is this wet? And it's like, it's okay. Just walk through, it's all just dry.
Walk through, want some footprints over in that corner.
Yeah, so you can't, but, and yet I like everything else in my life to be in order. I like things to be quite... structural and in line. Mm-hmm. I hate things that are crooked, which is funny because then in my art can be completely different.
Yeah, isn't that probably the balance though?
Probably is.
You
know,
you need that yin and yang together as that balance.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what's driving you.
Yeah.
You know, we did some, again, building, and there was a bit that didn't line up with the floor, and the wall didn't line up. And he says, oh, I can cut it, or we can just make it really a lot more and it doesn't even relate. And I said, let's make it a lot more, it didn't relate, but it would have done my head in every time I looked at it and seen that those lines didn't line up by that much.
Yeah.
You know, and
I was like that with building a house, everything, the lights had to be in line, everything had to be in line. If it was crooked, it would just... tip me over the edge.
Yet the chaos and what you do, and chaos. I've looked at some of your, you know, and there's kind of a darkness.
There is sometimes a darkness in there.
Yeah, and especially the three pieces you just brought into the art vault.
Yeah.
There's definitely some interesting darkness there, and it's been commented on already, actually.
Yeah, yeah. One of the big floral one is different to what I normally do, but... Oh, I think it was Hannah actually said, there's still a little bit of darkness in there. And I was like, there's always a bit of black or dark colour somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't know where that comes from.
Well, it's probably...
Well, the recent things that have, you know...
It's healthy, though.
I suppose, you know,
Robin Slow said to me very clearly, you know, when I said to him on the same show, I said to him, you know, you use a lot of black in your work. And why is it you use so much? You know, he says, I start with black.
Yeah.
And I let the black lets the light in.
Yeah.
And so everyone's got their own reason for doing it and their own process, right?
Yeah.
And you know, your inspiration around the walking down the beach and all the sticks and the stuff, or going to the Molly Bees, or going to a gathering in the summer.
Yeah.
They're all they're all relevant things.
Yeah.
But why do they become a piece of art? You know, why does that...
Yeah, it's funny, you know, how you just end up, I don't know, thinking of one thing and getting it out on the onto the boards or onto the canvas or whatever I'm doing.
Yeah. And with your sculpture, is it similar? Is it a bit dark? Is it a bit edgy? A bit,
yeah, it's black. It's black. It's all black.
Black glaze.
It's black. Black clay. So yep. I've made wall, I can't call them tiles because mm-hmm. that gives you the vision of them being a square tile. They're not, they're totally not straight, which is quite interesting. But I wanted to have black. They've got texture and it's black clay. So, yeah, it's quite.
You remember that piece that was in Bay Art one year and the frame wasn't quite straight and it was sat slightly crooked on the wall and it really annoyed so many people. And when we hung it, we actually were unsure and we sort of hung it so that it was straight. She came in and went, "You've hung it all wrong. It should be like this." And I went, okay.
Yeah.
Purposely. But that's the sort of stuff that would have done your head in.
Yeah, it would. And my latest stuff I'm working on for my exhibition is... Obviously, it's not perfect because it's not what it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's about disaster.
Describe perfection.
I don't know.
What is perfection? It doesn't really matter.
No.
I mean, it's like art is in the eye of the beholder.
You know,
it really is.
Yeah.
So what is the, can we have a wee glimpse? Can you tell us a little bit about the inspiration and what this is about?
Yeah, can we?
Yeah.
So obviously... This is where my words might not come out. The ITM fire.
Yep, okay. Well, that was pretty significant. It was especially pretty for you.
Devastating, totally.
Mm.
It still gets me, and sometimes I can't actually talk about it because it's still too raw.
Mm.
But I took photographs, obviously, that night when I first got there. I think 3:24 was my first photo I took in the morning.
Wow.
And what we arrived to was just pure devastation. Mm. Makes me sad. It was so confronting. I've never seen anything like that and I never want to see anything like that again. But I photographed everything because I knew, as hard as it was at the time, that down the track we'd need those photos. And it's obviously been like a therapy, I think, as well. So that's what my exhibition's going to be, which will end up being on the one-year anniversary of the fire, which is crazy to think it's going to come around that quick. But I've got a lot of photographs, ceramic, artwork, the whole, a real mixed media exhibition, I suppose you could call it. So, yeah, I'm quite excited
about it. Oh, yeah, this is going to be big. This is going to be week. Yeah, definitely. I'm excited.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine you know, that was a very dark place to go. And, you know, I think that's actually extremely brave and part of the healing process, perhaps.
Yeah, I think truly it has been because, I mean, to turn up and see what we saw was unbelievable. And I've got some pretty good photos that I took and I think, wow. You know, some of them say a lot. One with Luke with his hands up behind his head, just, you know, as if to say, what the hell?
Surrender.
What the hell are we going to do, you know? So it has been quite extreme, but also the amount of support that we got from that whole situation was massive from everybody. Mm. So that was also quite, it was quite overwhelming. But yep. But really very much appreciated as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, good community support just shows you, doesn't it?
Blew us away. Yeah. And the staff as well.
Mm-hmm.
All the staff there, we all took on the challenge, like, what do we have to do? And Luke just gave us all our jobs. This is what we're going to do. And we all got on. We were trading within 5 days of that fire.
Yeah, which that was amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
You know, you stand and look there now and you think, am I allowed to swear? Holy shit, what actually happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a dream, eh?
Absolutely, yeah.
And those photographs, you're so right. I mean, you know, the journalist photography stuff in all of us, you know, you're not meant to alter them or do anything with journalist photography. But the journalist photography, those moments, those captured moments of despair and destruction, as well as enlightened exuberation, are all valuable moments to capture. And you probably have done a pretty good job of that somehow.
Well, I took all those, and then when we were allowed to walk around through the building a couple of days later, and then all of a sudden my artistic eye was like, oh my God, look what the fire's done to that cladding. The patterns on there, and then that level took out, and I was like, saw things totally different. So I've got heaps of those photos of all sorts of stuff. Like, what are those round coils? Oh, those are tape measures that have got no casing on them now, but it's just the tape measure. All this stuff.
So in a way, you know, the fire and its destruction was creative.
Yeah. Yes, because there was some amazing... I've got some photos that are more artistic than a photo, if it's sort of... I don't know if that sounds right, but...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's like photographing the art that the fire made.
And I've based some of my ceramic things around that too. So, yeah, I'm quite excited about putting that all together.
That's an interesting process, how nature can, do you call fire fire nature? I kind of do, because it's part of nature. It comes along and it transforms a human construct into something that is its own way creative.
Yeah, it was... unbelievable. Just walking around there, just photographing, even just catching some of the staff in there, just looking as if to say, God, what the heat? How has this happened like that?
Yeah.
So, and the heat on those big massive steel beams that brought them from probably, I don't know, 8 metres high, I don't know how high, down to head height, melted. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So we've saved some of those too for...
Sculpture.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like
that. Because they did that in the 9/11, building they collected. And there's a piece in Christchurch.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's really special.
I mean, we were lucky, obviously, no one was hurt, but my artistic eye certainly kicked into action a couple of days after, just walking around through all the... there was nothing left. There was nothing there. It was
melted. So this will be January the
11th, I think we said the opening was, which will be exactly the one-year anniversary.
Oh, we'll get all the staff over.
Which, they'll all be really keen to come. So.
Yeah, no, we're going to make something special of this.
Yeah,
so I've can
had
see that.
A few people say to me, make sure you invite me.
And we'll invite the bosses over the hill, the ITM people.
Absolutely, definitely. You know,
and all the fire guys.
The firemen, because, I mean, they, a couple of them work at work, so they were fighting their place of work. It was pretty full on.
It's a deep thing, and art can heal, and that whole art therapy stuff is quite a real way.
I don't want to sound all airy fairy, but it's definitely been my therapy.
Because
I quite often go back through my photos and just think, God.
It's incredible how what can inspire art. How deep, because art does, it pulls on the emotions. You know, you walk through a room and something will just go click and you go, whoa.
Yeah.
And you don't know why, but it'll be some sort of emotion, right? And that's what you've kind of picked up on in a way. And this is in the modern paintings that you do.
The one I've got over there at the moment, Bloom and Hell, did I call it?
Yep,
That floral one to come out of... You know, I've done that in the last few weeks or a couple of months, whenever it was. But, it's still got a couple of dark flowers in it.
Yeah.
But it was quite bright for me. But I loved doing it. And it was like, see where that goes.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I look, like I said, define art, define what it is that we do. You know, we play with these things. We play, have these experiences for a reason.
Yeah.
And... I think, you know, you've grown probably heaps from this experience that's given you all this creative stuff to now use on.
Absolutely, it certainly has.
It's
made you, especially going into different methods of doing things and stuff as well. So, it's cool.
Sarah, this has been a great conversation. I really appreciate your time today. I think we're going to look forward to what's going to happen in January. But in the meantime, you've got three wonderful pieces of fantastic art at the gallery at the Art Vault in Takaka.
Thank you.
And I really encourage people to even come over the hill and have a look. I've got them up on Facebook, as you noticed.
Yep.
And have a look at the Art Vault Facebook page, because there's some photographs of Sarah's work. It's definitely you're definitely starting to become like I say, you're an artist of raw talent that I think has. Yeah, I think it has some
still
merit.
Got some growing to do and keeps improving, I think. I don't know.
That if you keep thinking like that, it's going to get better.
And people, when they buy one of your pieces, it's like, oh, cool. Someone loves that.
Yeah, wow.
I get a real buzz out of it.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
I get a buzz out of selling your art, and I get a buzz out of selling my art.
Yeah.
But I get a buzz out of selling your art and other people's art just as much as I get a buzz out of mine.
Yeah, it's always good.
You think, wow, someone actually pay, $1,500 for that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know.
Yeah, it's funny, eh?
It's humbling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Cool. No, it's very cool.
Look, Sarah, thank you very much for coming in today, and I really appreciate your time, and look forward to the next few months and seeing the works in January.
Yeah, cheers, Grant. I think that'll be exciting.
Thank you. Good night.
Cheers. Bye.
Thank you for your company today. You've been listening to Art Talk Takaka with me, Grant Knowles. We've been talking to artists about their inspirations, passions and journeys. Art should comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Brought to you by Art Vault Takaka.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.